We present Mary Rose, a play by J.M. Barrie, with Moya Leslie in the title role. Mary Rose.
This was the drawing room.
Not it. No, no, never. This wasn't the drawing room, my cabbage. At least not in my time.
I only came here to look after the house about 3 years ago, and I never saw it furnished, but I was told to say this was the drawing room, and I would thank you not to call me your cabbage.
Oh, no offence. It's a French expression. Learned it in France in the trenches. But the drawing room... Now, I was a little shaver when I was here last, but I mind we called the drawing room the big room. It wasn't a little box like this.
This is the biggest room in the house.
Well, whether it's the drawing room or not, it's cold. I've shivered in many a shanty in Australia and thought of the big room at home and the warmth of it. The warmth. And now this is the best I can do for the prodigal son when he returns to it, expecting to see that fatted calf done to a turn. But see here, I can make sure whether this was the drawing room. If it was... There's an apple tree outside there with one of its branches scraping on the window. I ought to know, for it was out at the window, down the apple tree to the ground, that I slid one dark night when I was a 12-year-old. Run away from home, the naughty blue-eyed angel that I was, and set off to make my fortune on the blasted ocean. Well, the fortune has still got the start of me, but the apple tree should still be there to welcome her darling boy. Let's see what's outside this window. Ha-ha! I've won. No tree, no drawing room.
I have heard tell there was once a tree there, and you can see the root if you look down.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can see it in the long grass. And a bit of the seat that used to be round it. This is the drawing room, right enough, Harry, my boy. I can see them now. My grandmother on the sofa there by the fire. Knitting. And my grandfather in his chair reading. The good old days.
Do you want to see the other rooms?
I'd like to see the room just above here, where we used to store the apples.
Well, come along then.
Now, wait a minute. What does that door at the back open onto?
Nothing. It's just a cupboard door. Come this way.
Oh, that door. It's coming back to me. It leads into a little dark passage.
That's all.
No, that can't be all. It leads, yes, to a single room, and the door of the room faces this way. Yes, all right. Now, there's a memory for you. But what the hell made you want to deceive me?
It's of no consequence.
I think, yes, it comes back to me that I used to sleep there.
Well, that may be. Well, if you'll come down...
I'm curious to see that room first.
No, you can't go in there.
Your reasons?
It's locked.
Strange. Your anxiety to stop me when you knew I would find the door locked.
Sometimes it's locked, sometimes not.
Is it not you that locks it?
It's never locked, it's held.
Who holds it?
Oh, quiet, man.
You're all shivering.
I'm not.
What's that over there? I got you that time. What was it you expected to see? This is a ghost. They say it's a ghost. What is it gives this house an ill name?
Use as brave words as you like when I've gone, but I advise you, my lad, to keep a civil tongue while you're here. Surely you can't have the money to buy a house like this.
No, not me. It was just my curiosity to see the old home that brought me here. And now that the war is over, I'm for Australia again.
Well, there's no use showing you the rest of the house, then. If you want to be going, I have my work to do.
We've got on so nicely. I wonder if you'd give me a cup of tea.
I have no objection.
Oh. Well, since you're so pressing, I accept.
Then come down to the kitchen.
No, I'm sure the prodigal son got his tea in the drawing room.
You're meaning to go into that room. I wouldn't if I were you.
If you were me, you would.
Until I have your promise.
Oh, very well, I promise. Your ghost has nothing to do with me. It's a woman, isn't it? See here. And I'll sit in this chair till you come back saying my prayers. You needn't look so scared, woman.
I'll not be more than 10 minutes.
She can't do much in 10 minutes. Back home at last. Home. Who's that? Is anyone there? No one. No one. I'll wait here. I'll wait.
Well, well, well. Wireless, eh?
What is that?
Wireless, it's to be called. There's an article about it in this paper. The fellow says that before many years have passed, we shall be able to talk to ships on the ocean.
Nonsense, James.
Of course it's nonsense. And yet there is no denying, as he says, that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy.
You and I know that to be true, James.
Oh, that. My dear, that is all dead and done with long ago.
Yes. But sometimes when I look at Mary Rose, so happy
and... She will never know anything about it.
No, indeed. But someday she will fall in love.
That infant?
She can't marry without your first telling the man. We agreed, James.
Yes, I suppose I must. Though I'm not certain I ought to. Still, I'll keep my word. I'll tell him everything. Where is she now?
Down at the boathouse with Simon, I think.
Now, that is all right. Let her play about with Simon and the like. It may make a tomboy of her, but it will keep young men out of her head.
You still think of Simon as a boy?
Bless the woman. He's only a midshipman.
He's a sub-lieutenant now.
Oh, same thing. Why, Fanny, I still tip him. At least I did a year ago. And he liked it. Thanks, no end. You are a trump, he said. And then slipped behind the screen to see how much it was.
He's a very delightful creature, but he isn't a boy anymore.
It's not nice of you to put such ideas into my head. I'll go down to the boathouse at once.
Daddy!
Where are you, Mary Rose?
I'm in the apple tree.
What are you doing in the apple tree?
I'm hiding. Mother!
Has anything frightened you, Mary Rose?
I'm not sure. Hold me tight, Mother.
Darling, has Simon been disturbing you?
Oh, yes, he has. It's all Simon's fault.
Is this some game? Where is Simon?
He's at the foot of the tree. He's not coming up by the tree. He wants to come in by the door. That shows you how important it is.
What is it?
You see, Simon's leave is up tomorrow, and he wants to see you, Daddy, before he goes.
Oh, I'm sure he does. And I know why. I told you, Fanny. Mary Rose, do you see my purse lying about?
A purse, Daddy?
Yes, you little goose. There's a fiver in it, and that is what Master Simon wants to see me about.
Oh, James. Dearest, tell me what Simon has been saying to you. Whisper it, my love.
Wanted to marry me.
Yes. I thought it was that. James... You may as well be told bluntly. It isn't your fiver that Simon wants. It's your daughter.
What?
Daddy, Mummy, I'm so awfully sorry that this has occurred.
Oh, my own, my pet. But he's only a boy, Mary Rose. Just a very nice boy.
Mother, that's the wonderful, wonderful thing. He was just a boy. I quite understand that. He was a mere boy till today. And then, Daddy, he suddenly changed. All at once he became a man. Oh, you'll scarcely know him now, Mother.
Darling, he breakfasted with us. I think I shall know him still.
Oh, he's quite different from breakfast time. He's grown so grave, so manly, so protective. He's waiting down there, Mummy. May I bring him in?
Of course, dearest.
And don't come with him, though.
Oh, well, you know how shy Simon is.
I do not.
Your father and I must have a talk with him alone, you see.
Oh, I suppose so. Do you mind my going upstairs into the apple room and sometimes knocking on the floor? I think it would be a help to him to know I'm so nearby. You won't try to put him against me, Daddy?
I would try my hardest if I thought I had any chance.
Oh, Daddy.
Well, well, well. Poor old mother.
Poor old father. There couldn't be a nicer boy, though.
No, but...
Yes. There is that.
Sir?
Ah, Simon. Here you are.
Come in, Simon.
Oh, thank you.
You will need to say more than that, you know, Simon, to justify your conduct.
Oh, Simon, how could you?
Oh, it is beastly hard on you, of course. But if you knew what Mary Rose is...
We feel that even we know to some extent what Mary Rose is.
Oh, yes, rather. And so you can see how it has come about. Well, perhaps you have thought that I was a rather larky sort in the past.
We see an extraordinary change in you, Simon.
Oh, have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Yes, Mary Rose has noticed it too. To some young people, marriage is a thing to be entered on lightly, but that's not my style. What I want is to give up larks and all that, and insure my life and read the political articles. And, oh, yes. And I promise you it won't be like losing a daughter but gaining a son.
Did Mary Rose tell you to say that?
Well, oh, and another thing. I shall consider it well worth being married to Mary Rose just to have you, Mrs. Morland, for a mother-in-law.
Well said, Simon. I like you the better for that.
Did she tell you to say that also?
At any rate, never shall I forget the respect and affection I owe to the parents of my beloved wife.
She is not your wife yet, you know.
No, she isn't. But can she be? Mrs. Morland, can she be?
Well, that's as may be, Simon. It is only a possible engagement that we are discussing at the present.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Well, my people...
We like them, Simon.
I don't know whether you've noticed a sound from up above.
I did think I heard something.
Well, that is Mary Rose in the apple room.
No.
Yes. She's doing that to help me. Well, I promised to knock back as soon as I thought things were going well. What do you say? May I?
I think, Fanny, he might.
No. There is a little thing, Simon, that Mary Rose's father and I feel we ought to tell you about her before you knock, my dear. It's not very important, I think, but it is something she doesn't know of herself, and it makes her a little different from other girls.
I won't believe anything against Mary Rose.
We have nothing to tell you against her.
It is just something that happened, Simon. We always agreed that she mustn't be engaged before we told the man. We must have your promise before we tell you that you will keep it to yourself.
You must never speak of it, even to Mary Rose.
I promise.
It happened 7 years ago, when Mary Rose was 11. We were in a remote part of Scotland, in the Outer Hebrides. We went because I was fond of fishing. We were staying at an inn on the shore of a loch. And in the loch, there is a little island.
It's quite a small island, Simon. Uninhabited, no sheep even. I suppose there are only about 6 acres of it.
I often rowed Mary Rose across to the island and left her there to sketch while I fished. She was fond of sketching in those days. I could see her from the boat most of the time, and we used to wave to each other. Then I would go back for her when I stopped fishing.
We didn't know at the time that the natives had a superstition against landing on the island, and that it was supposed to resent this. It had a Gaelic name, which means the island which likes to be visited.
Tell me what happened.
It was on what was to be our last day. I had landed her on this island as usual, and in the early evening, I pulled across to take her off. From the boat, I saw her sitting on a stump of a tree. That was her favorite seat. And she waved gaily to me, and I to her. Then I rowed over with, of course, my back to her. I had less than 100 yards to go. But Simon, when I got across, she wasn't there.
You seem so serious about it. She was hiding from you.
She wasn't on that island, Simon.
But
don't you think I searched and searched?
All of us. No one in the village went to bed that night. It was then that we learned how they feared the island.
There was nothing we didn't try. But she was gone.
I can't. Tell me how you found her.
It was the 20th day after she disappeared. 20 days. The search had long been given up, but we couldn't come away.
I was wandering one day along the shore of the loch. You can imagine in what state of mind. I stopped and stood looking across the water at the island. And Simon, I saw her, sitting on the tree trunk, sketching.
Mary Rose.
She waved to me and went on sketching. I waved back to her. I got into the boat and rowed across, just in the old way, except that I sat facing her so that I could see her all the time. When I landed, the first thing she said was, "Why did you row in that funny way, Daddy?" Then I saw at once that she didn't know anything had happened. She thought I'd just come for her at the usual time.
James brought her back to me, just the same happy, carefree girl, with no idea that she'd been away from me for more than an hour or two.
But when you told her...
We never told her. She doesn't know now. At first, we thought to tell her after we got her home. And then it was all so inexplicable. We were afraid to alarm her, to take the bloom off her. In the end, we decided never to tell her.
I don't know what to think. But it's had no effect on her at any rate.
None whatever. And you can guess how we used to watch.
Simon, I'm very anxious to be honest with you. I have sometimes thought that our girl is curiously young for her age. As if, you know how just a touch of frost may stop the growth of a plant and yet leave it blooming. It has sometimes seemed to me as if a cold finger had once touched my Mary Rose.
Mrs. Morland.
Well, Simon, we felt we had to tell you. That is all we know. I'm sure it's all we shall ever know. And what are you going to do?
What do you think? I'm going to signal to Mary Rose. You heard? That means it's all right. You'll see how she'll come tearing down to us.
You dear boy. You will see how I shall go tearing up to her.
I do love Mary Rosa.
So do we, Simon. I suppose that made us love her a little more than other daughters are loved. Well, it is dead and done with, and it doesn't disturb me now at all. I hope you won't let it disturb you.
Oh, rather not. The island that likes to be visited. It is an odd name. I say, let's forget all about it. Well, you see, sir, my leave is up tomorrow.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, Mary Rose.
Oh,
my dear. Oh, it isn't you I'm thinking of, Simon. It's father. It's poor father. Oh, Simon, how could you? Isn't it hateful of him, Daddy?
I should just say it is. Is your mother crying too?
Yes.
I see I'm going to have an abominable day. Now, if you two don't mind very much being left alone, I think I'll go up and sit in the apple room and cry with your mother.
Oh, Mary Rose.
Oh, Simon, you and me.
You and me. That's it. We are us now. Tell me, what were you thinking as you sat up there in the apple room waiting? Did you think of our wedding day?
A little.
Only a little?
But frightfully clearly. Simon, I had a delicious idea about our honeymoon. There's a place in Scotland in the Hebrides. I should love to go there.
The Hebrides?
We once went to it when I was little. Isn't it funny? I'd almost forgotten about that island. And then, suddenly, I saw it quite clearly as I was sitting up there.
Tell me, what was there particular about that place in the Hebrides?
Oh, the fishing for father. There was an island where I often... My little island. Oh, my dear, my dear. I should love to show you the tree trunk and the rowan tree where I used to sketch while father was in the boat.
Yet I'm not going to spend my honeymoon by the sea, though. And yet, I should like to go to the Hebrides someday. To see that island.
Yes, let's. Oh, Simon. Yes. I think. I don't think at all. I'm quite sure. This is the place. Oh, Simon, kiss me quick. You promised to kiss me quick when we found the place.
I'm not the man to break my word. At the same time, Mary Rose, I would point out to you that this is the third spot you have picked out as being the place. And three times have I kissed you quick on that understanding.
Oh, it was here. I told you the fir and a rowan tree.
There were a fir and a rowan at each of the other places.
Oh, not this fir, not this rowan.
You have me there.
Oh, Simon, I know I'm not clever, but I am always right. The rowan berries, I used to put them in my hair. Darling rowan tree, are you glad to see me back? You don't look a bit older. How do you think I am wearing? Shall I tell you a secret? Put your arm around me and listen. I am married. Oh, it didn't like that, Simon. It's jealous. After all, it knew me first. Oh, dearest trees, I've been married for nearly 4 years. And this is the man. His name is Lieutenant Simon Blake. Look.
What is it now?
That moss. Oh, I feel sure there's a tree trunk beneath it. The very root on which I used to sit and sketch.
Oh, it is a tree trunk, right enough.
I believe I cut my name on it with a knife.
Well, this looks like it. M.
Oh.
A. R. Oh, and there it stops.
Oh, my little seat, how I have missed you.
Well, go on, give it all the news. Tell it we don't have a house of our own yet.
You see, dear seat, we live with my father and mother because Simon is so often away at sea. But listen, you trees. I have a much more wonderful secret than that. It's this. I have got a baby. Oh, he's 2 years and 9 months, and he says such beautiful things to me about loving me. Oh, Rowan, do you think he means them?
I distinctly heard it say yes.
Simon, isn't it funny to think that from this very spot I used to wave to Father? Oh, that was a happy time.
I wonder where Cameron is. I told him after he landed to tie up the boat at any good place and make a fire. I suppose I'd better try to make it myself.
Do you know, Simon, I don't think Daddy and Mother like this island.
Help me with the fire, you chatterbox.
They never seem to want to speak of it.
I've forgotten it, I suppose.
Simon, why did you want to come to my island without me?
Did I? No. I merely suggested your remaining at the inn because I thought you seemed tired. Oh, I say, freeze me. I've got this fire alight.
Here comes Cameron. Oh, do be polite to him, dear. You know how touchy they are.
I am learning.
Is it the wish of Mr. Blake that I should land?
Yes. Yes, Cameron, with the luncheon.
You sit down, Mr. Cameron.
I am doing very well here, I thank you.
But please.
I will not sit down on this island.
Oh, come, are you superstitious?
This island has a bad name. I have never landed on it before.
Bad name, Mr. Cameron? Oh, but what a shame. When I was here long ago, I often came to the island.
Is that so? Was it not a chancy thing to do?
But it is a darling island.
That is the proper way to speak of it.
Oh, I'm sure I have never heard a word against it. Have you, Simon?
Not I. I have heard that its Gaelic name has an odd meaning. The island that likes to be visited. But there's nothing terrifying in that. So what is there against the island?
It was not always here, so they're saying. Hmm? Then one day it was here.
Anything else against it?
There is the birds. Too many birds come here. The birds like this island more than is seemly.
Birds here? What could bring them here?
It is said they come to listen.
To listen to the silence? An island that is as still as an empty church?
I do not know. That is what they say.
I think it is a lovely story about the birds. I expect they come because the island likes to be visited.
That is another thing. For mark you, Mistress Blake, an island that had visitors would not need to want to be visited. And why has it not visitors? Because they are afraid to visit it. There are stories, ma'am.
Do tell us.
You know, there are many stories. There is one about a young English miss. And they say she was about 10 years of age.
Not so much younger than I was when I came here. How long ago was it?
I think it is 10 years ago this summer.
Oh, Simon, it must have been the year after I was here.
Very, very likely, but look, I say we mustn't stay on gossiping. We must be getting back.
Well, the story first. I won't go without the story.
Well, then, the father of this miss, he will be fond of fishing, and he sometimes landed the little one on the island while he fished round it from the boat.
Just as father used to do with me.
One day the father pulled over for his little one as usual. He saw her from the boat, and it is said she kissed her hand to him. Then, in a moment more, he reached the island. But she was gone.
Gone?
She had heard the call of the island, though no sound came to him.
Doesn't it make one shiver?
My father was one of the searchers. For many days they searched.
It would not take many minutes to search this darling little island.
They searched, ma'am, long after there was no sense in searching.
What a curdling story. Simon, dear, it might have been me. Is there any more?
There is more. It was about a month afterwards. Her father was walking on the shore over there, and he saw something moving in the island. All in a tremble, ma'am, he came across in the boat, and it was his little miss.
Alive?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I am glad. It rather spoils the mystery.
Oh, Mary Rose.
Because she could tell them what had happened, stupid. Whatever was it?
It is not so easy as that. She did not know that anything had happened. She thought she had been parted from her father for but an hour.
Oh, Simon.
You and your bogies and wraiths. You man of the mists.
Oh, don't be alarmed, Simon. I was only pretending.
I do not like Mr. Blake's way of talking. I will go and bail the boat.
Oh, suppose it were true, Simon.
But it isn't.
No, of course not. But if it had been, how awful for the girl when her father told her that she had been away for weeks.
Perhaps she was never told. He may have thought it wiser not to disturb her.
Poor girl. Yes, I suppose that would have been best. And yet, I was taking a risk.
How?
Well, not knowing what had happened before, she might come back and be caught again. Oh, little island, I don't think I like you today.
If she ever comes back, let us hope it's with an able-bodied husband to protect her.
Nice people, husbands. Won't let them catch me, will you, Simon? Oh,
let them try. And now to pack up the remnants of the feast and escape from the scene of the crime. We'll never come back again, Mary Rose. I'm too frightened.
It's a shame to be funny about my island. Poor lonely isle. I never knew about your liking to be visited, and I dare say I shall never visit you anymore. Last time of anything is always sad, don't you think, Simon?
There must always be a last time, dearest dear.
Yes, I suppose. For everything. There must be a last time I shall see you, Simon.
Dearest.
Someday, Simon, you will kiss me for the last time.
Well, that wasn't the last time, at any rate. What is it?
I don't know. Something seemed to pass over me.
You and your last times. Let me tell you, Mistress Blake, there will be a last time of seeing your baby. Not, I mean only that he can't always be an infant. But the day after you have seen him for the last time as a baby, you'll see him for the first time as a little gentleman. Well, think of that.
The loveliest time of all will be when he is a man and takes me on his knee instead of my putting him on mine. Oh, gorgeous. Don't you think the sad thing is that we seldom know when the last time has come? Could make so much more of it.
No, don't you believe that? To know would spoil it all. Oh, there. That's everything packed up. I suppose I ought to stamp out the fire.
Oh, let Cameron do that. I want you to come and sit beside me, Simon.
Oh, what a life.
Have I been a nice wife to you, Simon? Oh, I don't mean always and always. Have I been a tolerably good wife on the whole? Not a wonderful one, but one that would pass in a crown.
Now look here, if you're going to butt me with your head in that way, you must take that pin out of your hair.
Have I been all right as a mother, Simon? Have I been the sort of mother a child could both love and respect?
Well, that's a very awkward question. You must ask that of Harry Morland Blake.
Simon, if one of us had to go, and we could choose which
one... Oh, she's off again.
Well, but if... I wonder which would be best. I mean, for Harry, of course.
No, I should have to hop it.
Dear.
Oh, I haven't popped off yet. If I did go, I know your first thought would be the happiness of Harry must not be interfered with for a moment. You'll block me out forever, Mary Rose, rather than he should lose one of his 100 laughs a day. It's true, isn't it?
It's true at any rate that if I were the one to go, that is what I should like you to do. Oh, Simon, isn't life lovely? Happy.
Oh, there you are, Cameron. We're still safe, you see. You can count us. Two.
I am very glad.
Here you are. Here's the luncheon basket. You needn't tie the boat up. You stay there and I'll stamp out the fire myself.
As Mr. Blake pleases.
Are you ready, Mary Rose?
Oh, I must say goodbye to my island first. Goodbye, old mossy seat. Nice, Rowan. Goodbye, little Ivan that likes too much to be visited. Perhaps I shall come back when I am an old lady with wrinkles. And you won't know your Mary Rose.
I say, dear, do dry up. I can't help listening to you when I ought to be getting this fire out.
Very well. I won't say another word. I promise.
Well, this seems to be out. Sparks come again.
Very well.
Do you think if I were to get some stones from the lock and put them on fire? I think the fire's done for at last. We can go now. Ooh, how cold and grey it's become. You needn't keep quiet any longer, you know. Mary Rose? What have you got to? Please. Don't hide. Dearest. Don't. Cameron? Where is my wife?
Your wife?
Mary Rose? Mary Rose? Cameron? I can't find her. Mary
What are you laughing over, Fanny?
It's this week's Punch. So very amusing. Try if you can look at this picture without laughing.
Oh, I think I can say that I enjoy a joke as much as ever.
You light-hearted old man.
No, not so old, Fanny. Please to remember that I am 2 months younger than you.
How can I forget it when you've been casting it up against me all our married life?
At 73, I certainly don't feel my age. What are you thinking about, Fanny?
I was thinking about the apple tree and that you've given the order for its destruction.
It must come down. It's becoming a danger. Might fall on someone down there any day.
I quite see that it has to go. But her tree, how often she made it a ladder from this room to the ground.
Oh, yes, of course. Did she used to climb the apple tree? Yes, I think she did.
Had you forgotten that also, James?
I'm afraid I forget a lot of things.
You have forgotten much, but so have I. Even that room that was hers and her child's during all her short married life. I often go into it now without remembering that it was theirs.
It is so long since she... How long is it, Fanny?
25 years. Nearly a third of our lifetime. It'll soon be dark. I can see the twilight running across the fields. Draw the curtains, dear. Fireman's train must be nearly due, is it not?
In 10 minutes or so. Did you forward his telegram?
No, I thought he'd probably get it sooner if I kept it here.
I dare say.
What is it, dear?
I'm afraid I was rather thoughtless about the apple tree, Fanny. I hurt you.
Such nonsense.
It is strange. It is rather terrible. You're pretty nigh forgotten, Mary Rose.
That isn't true, dear. Mary Rose belongs to the past. And we have to live in the present. For a little longer. Even if we could drag her back to tell us now what these things mean, I think it would be a shame.
Yes, I suppose so. Do you think Simon is a philosopher about it also?
Simon was very fond of her. He never married again.
I suppose anyone who came back after 25 years, however much they'd been loved, should we know what to say to them, Fanny?
Don't, James. Simon is late, isn't he?
Not very. I heard the train a short time ago, and he might be here just if he had the luck to find a cab. But not if he is walking across the fields.
Oh, listen, is that a cab?
Yes, that's probably Simon.
Oh, Simon. I'll go and meet him. Simon!
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Let me down, you great bear. You know how I hate to be run for.
Not she. Lousy. Always did. Get off your great coat, Simon.
Oh, dear, how cold your hands are.
He is looking fit, though.
No, we need to be fit. These days.
Oh, it's so nice to have you again. The train was late, wasn't it?
Oh, a few minutes only. I made a selfish bolt for the one cab and got it.
We thought you might be walking across the field.
No, I left the fields for the two other people who got out of the train.
Ah.
One of them was a lady. I thought something about her walk was familiar to me. Yeah, but it was darkish. I didn't make her out.
Bertha Collington, I expect. She was in London today.
If I thought it was Mrs. Collington, I would have offered her a lift. Mother.
Huh?
I've news. I've got the Bellerophon.
Oh.
The very ship you wanted.
Mother.
Bravo, Simon.
It is like realizing the ambition of one's life. I'm one of the lucky folks, I admit. And if this war does come...
It won't, I'm sure.
Well, I dare say not. But they say... However...
Oh, Simon, I'd forgotten. There's a telegram for you.
Oh, I do trust it's not recalling me. I had hoped for at least 5 clear days.
We didn't open it.
2-1, it is recalling me.
It came 2 days ago. I don't like telegrams, Simon, never did. They've broken so many hearts.
They've made many a heart glad, too. It may be from my Harry. At last.
Oh...
Mother, do you think I was sometimes a bit harsh to him?
I think you sometimes were, my son.
Open it, Simon.
Oh.
It can't be so bad as that. We're all here, Simon.
Here. Read it, sir. Sit down, Mother.
Can't be. Can't be.
Now, it's all right, Mother. Don't you be afraid. It's good news. Now, you are a brave one. You've come through much. You will be brave for another minute.
Fine, what is it?
Mother, dear, it's Mary Rose.
It can't be true.
Is my Mary Rose alive?
No, it's all right. It's all right. I wouldn't say it, surely, if it wasn't true. Mary Rose has come back. The telegram is from Cameron. You remember who he was. Hold my hand and I'll read it. Your wife has come back. She was found today on the island. I'm bringing her back to you. She is quite well, but you will all have to be very careful.
Simon, can it be?
I believe it, absolutely. Cameron would not deceive me.
He might be deceived himself. He was a mere acquaintance.
I'm sure it is true. He knew her by sight as well as any of us.
But after 25 years...
Do you think I wouldn't know her after 25 years?
Oh, she would be very changed.
However changed, Mother, wouldn't I know my Mary Rose at once? Her hair may be as grey as mine. Her face, her little figure, her pretty... So they were all gone. Don't you think I'd know my Mary Rose at once? Oh, my God. I saw her. And I didn't know her.
Oh, Simon.
It was Cameron with her. They must have come in my train. Mother, it was she I saw going across the fields. And her little walk when she was excited. Half a run. I recognized it. But I didn't... Remember, it was hers.
It was getting dark.
Mary Rose is coming across the fields. I must go and meet her.
It is rather dark. I shouldn't wonder, though. There was a touch of frost tonight. I wish I was more use.
Mr. Morland. Mrs. Morland.
Oh, Mr. Cameron, tell us quickly, Mr. Cameron, is it true?
It is true, ma'am. Mr. Blake met us at the gate and he is with her now. I hurried on to tell you the things necessary. It is good for her that you should know them at once.
Please, quick.
You must be prepared to find her different.
We are all different. Her age...
I mean, Mrs. Morland, different from what you expect. She is not different as we are different. They will be saying she is just as she was on the day she went away.
Oh.
These 25 years, she will be thinking they were just an hour in which Mr. Blake and I had left her in some incomprehensible jest.
James, just as it was before.
But when you told her the truth, she will not have it.
She must have seen how much older you are.
She does not know me, ma'am, as the young man who was with her that day. When she did not recognize me, I thought it best. She was so troubled already not to tell her.
But now that she has seen Simon, his appearance, his gray hair, when she saw him, she would know.
I am not sure. It is dark out there.
She must have known that he would never have left her and come home.
That secretly troubles her, but she will not speak of it. There is some terrible dread lying on her heart.
Harry. James, if she should think that Harry is still a child...
I never heard what became of the boy.
He ran away to sea when he was 12 years old. We had a few letters from Australia, very few. We don't know where he is now.
How was she found, Mr. Cameron?
Two men fishing from a boat saw her. She was asleep by the shore at the very spot where Mr. Blake made a fire so long ago. There was a rowan tree beside it. At first they were afraid to land, but they did. They said there was such a joy in her face as she slept that it was a shame to waken her.
Joy?
That is so, sir. I have sometimes thought...
Better here, Mary Rose.
Mother! Father! Mother, what is it?
Oh, my love.
Mary Rose.
Father? What is it, Simon? Simon?
Oh, my beloved wife. We're so glad you had a comfortable journey, Mary Rose. You would like a cup of tea, wouldn't you? Is there anything I can do?
Father, tell me.
Tell you what, dear?
Mr. Cameron.
I...
Oh, Simon. My Simon. Be nice to me, Simon. Be nice to me. Dear Simon. And tell me.
Dearest love, since I lost you, it was a long time ago.
It wasn't. Oh, please, it wasn't. Tell me, my mother dear, where is my baby?
Tea, mister. Are you sitting in the dark? I haven't been more than the 10 minutes I promised you. I was... What's the matter, mister? I've brought you a cup of tea. I've just been the 10 minutes.
Oh, what am I? Give me the tea. Oh, that's better. Thank you, missus.
Have you seen anything?
See here. As I sat in that chair... I wasn't sleeping, mind you. It's no dream, but things of the far past connected with this old house. Things I knew nothing of, they came crowding out of their holes and gathered round me till I saw them all so clear that I don't know what to think, woman. Well, never mind about that. Tell me about this ghost.
It's no concern of yours.
Yes, it is some concern of mine. The folk that used to live here, the Morlands.
That was the name. I suppose you heard it in the village.
I've heard it all my days. It is one of the names I bear. I am one of the family.
I suspicion that.
I suppose that is what made them come to me as I sat here. Tell me about them.
It's little I know. They were dead and gone before my time, the old man and his wife.
It's not them I'm asking you about.
They had a son-in-law, a sailor. The war made a great man of him before it drowned him.
I know that. He was my father. Hard, I used to think him, but I know better now. Go on, there's the other one.
That was all.
There is one more.
Well, if you must speak of her, she's dead too.
And so it is her ghost that haunts this house. Have you ever seen her yourself? In that room?
All over the house. In every room and on the stairs.
But she is harmless, it seems.
There's some wouldn't say that. Them that left in a hurry. If she thought you were keeping it from her, she'd do you a mischief.
Keeping what from her?
Whatever it is she prowls about this cold house searching for. Searching? Searching? I don't know what it is.
Well, maybe I could tell you. I dare say I could even put her in the way of finding him.
I wish to God you would and let her rest.
There are worse things than not finding what you're looking for. As finding them so different from what you had hoped. See here, I'm going into that room.
Oh.
You think she's in there?
Well, she may be.
Now leave me here now.
I don't know. You think you're in no danger, but...
That's how it is to be.
Oh, very well then.
Just 10 minutes you were out of the room, did you say?
That was all.
God, 10 minutes.
Have you come to buy the house?
Not me.
It's a very nice house, isn't it?
It was a nice house once.
Wasn't it? Did you know this house?
When I was a young shaver.
Young? You're quite old.
I'm getting on.
Would you mind telling me why everyone is so old? I don't know you, do I?
I wonder. Take a look. You might have seen me in the old days. Outside in the garden, or even inside.
You're not Simon, are you?
No. My name is Harry.
I don't think so. I strongly object to your saying that.
I'm an odd sort of cove, and I would like to hear you call me Harry.
I decline. I regret, but I absolutely decline.
Oh, no offence.
I thought you were perhaps the one.
The one?
The one who stole him from me.
Oh, I see. Well, in a sort of way, I suppose I am.
Give him back to me.
I wish I could. But I'm doubting he is gone beyond recall.
Who is he?
Do you mean you've forgotten who it is you're searching for?
I knew once. Oh, it's such a long time ago. I'm so tired. Please, can I go away and play now?
Go away? Where? You mean back to that place?
Yes.
What sort of place is it? Is it good to be there?
Lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Well, if the place is so lovely, what made you leave it?
I don't know. Please. I don't want to be a ghost anymore.
Well, as far as I can see, if you weren't a ghost there, you made yourself one by coming back. But it's no use you expecting me to be able to help you. Oh, come to me, ghosty. I wish you would.
Certainly not.
If you come, I'll try to help you. Come and sit on my knee. That's right. See here, when I was sitting in this room alone, I seemed to hear you, as you once were, saying that someday, when he was a man, you would like to sit on your Harry's knee.
The loveliest time of all will be when he is a man and takes me on his knee instead of my putting him on mine.
Do you know who I am now?
Nice man.
Is that all you know about me?
Yes.
There is a name I would like to call you by. But my best course is not to worry you. Poor soul. My name is Harry.
Harry. Harry. Harry. Harry.
But you don't know what Harry I am.
No.
This brings us no nearer what's to be done with you. I would willingly stay here, though I have my clearing in Australia, but you're just a ghost. They say there are ways of laying ghosts, but I'm so ignorant.
Tell me.
Well, I know about them for certain. They're unhappy because they can't find something. And then once they've got the thing they want, they go away happy and never come back.
Oh, nice.
The one thing clear to me is that you have got that thing at last, but you're too dog-tired to know or care. What you need now is to get back to the place you say is lovely, lovely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sounds as if it might be heaven or near thereby. If there was any way of getting you to that place.
Tell me.
It's as if nobody wanted you. Either there or here.
Yes. Bad man.
Yeah, well, it's easy to call me names, but the thing fair beats me. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, but a mere man is so helpless. How should the likes of me know what to do with a ghost that's lost her way on Earth? I wonder what it means is that you broke some law just to come back for the sake of that Harry. If it was that, it's surely time I was overlooked.
Yes.
I look out there. What a night of stars. I dare say they are in the know, but I'm thinking you are too small a thing to get a helping hand from them.
Yes.
Look. There's a shooting star. She's gone. Poor, weary little ghost. Your long day is done.
That was Mary Rose, a play by J.M. Barrie. The cast was as follows. Mary Rose, Moya Leslie. Simon, David Collings. Mr. Morland, Douglas Blackwell. Mrs. Morland, Eva Stewart. Harry, Nigel Anthony. Cameron, Crawford Logan. And the housekeeper, Barbara Atkinson. The sound balance was by Isabel Sargent. Mary Rose was a BBC World Service drama production, abridged for radio and directed by Jill Graham.